The Torah tells us that Eretz Yisrael has a kedusha, and this and kedusha means that something has special dealing. When you say a Jewish person has kedusha, it means kirushan of the mitzvahs of the tivanim. You're obligated to the mitzvahs. When you say a kohen has kedusha, is kuhuna, or a lady has kedusha, is leviya. So you're assuming that the kohanim have special mitzvahs that the Israelim don't have. The Kohen Gadol has more kedusha than the Kohen Hedyot means that he has special mitzvahs that the Kohen Hedyot don't have. So when you say that Eretz Yisrael has kedusha, you say Makom HaMikdash has kedusha, Yerushalayim has kedusha. You mean that there are special mitzvahs that apply there that don't apply in other locations. And the Gemara has a machlokes HaTanaim, whether the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael disappeared after the Churban HaBayis, and we assume that it did not. We assume that although the kedusha Rishayna was only Kitcha Rishayisha, but not Kitcha Lossi Lavoi, which is shown that was created by Yeshua ben Nun when he conquered Eretz Yisrael and he divided the land of Shvatim, only lasted until the Churban Bayis Rishon. But for Kedusha Shniya, we assume La Halacha, most of the Rishonim assume is Kitcha Lossi Lavoi. We assume Eretz Yisrael has a Kedusha Min HaTorah Bizman HaZeh, and we're obligated to observe all the special agricultural mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael Min HaTorah. The Gemara says that Yovel is an exception to the rule, despite the fact that Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha. We don't have any Yovel today because a condition in observance of Yovel is Kol Yashveho Aleho. You have to have all the people who are supposed to be living in Eretz Yisrael are supposed to be living there. Who the people are supposed to be living in Eretz Yisrael? All those who are living in Chutzlah. All those people are supposed to be living in Eretz Yisrael. So because they're not there, so that's why you don't have Kol Yashveho Aleho, so that's why there's no observance of Yovel. There's another reason about Chaim writes in his paper. There's another reason why there's no observance of Yovel Aleho, because there's no Bezin counting. Yovel doesn't happen by itself. Yovel, you have to have a Bezin on Gadol counting the years. Then the Kiddush from Mishnas HaChamishim Shana, then the Bezin has to declare this is the Mishnas HaChamishim Shana. So we have no Bezin on Gadol. And we don't have Rabbi Yashveh HaLeo. You don't have Kol Yashveh HaLeo. And the Pasuk says, so if you don't have the majority, even when we'll have the majority of the world Jewish population living in Eretz Yisrael, according to what Achayim understands in his sefer, as long as you don't have a Bezin HaGadol that's able to count the years of Shemitah and Yovel, then we're not going to have the Yovel. That's why we assume there's a further machlokes HaTanaim whether Shemitah is deraisa, Bizman She'ena Yovel Noeg, whether Shemitah is deraisa, machlokes HaTanaim quoted in the Gemara in the beginning of Moed Katan and Daf Gimel, and in the middle of Gittin and Daf Lamed Zayin, machlokes Rebbe and the Chachamim. Rebbe's opinion is the generally accepted opinion, Al Pi Pashtus, that we assume that Shemitah Bizman HaZeh is only the Rabbanan. That's the most of the Rishonim assume. There is a minority opinion of Pasuk like the Chachamim. It should have been like the Chachamim. Yochad v'Rab Malach v'Rab. But you have some in Mishnayos who seem to assume that Shemitah Bizman HaZeh is only the Rabban. So most of the Pasuk assume that Shemitah Bizman HaZeh is also only the Rabban, because the Pasuk in the beginning of Bahar seems to imply that you only observe Shemitah when it's going to lead up to Yovel. And the Shemitah is not going to lead up to Yovel, so you don't even have any Shemitah. But basically, leaving out this issue, the issue of the Yovel and the issue of the Shemitah, the Kedusha Eretz Yisrael is the right, and the mitzvahs have to be observed in a third. Chaim has another comment to explain the Rambam, that because there's no Yovel and therefore there's no Shemitah in a third, so therefore there's no Trumas and Maitis either. Because Trumas and Maitis, you have to know which year of the Shemitah cycle you're in. Is it the first year? Is it the second year? Is it the third year? There's a difference between the second year and the third year. The second year is Maaseh Sheni, the third year is Maaseh Rami. There's a difference in the first year and the second year. Even though the Haproshes are identical, but you cannot be Mafish Mishona Al Chavakos. You have to determine which year you're holding by. What year are you in order to know what Haproshes to do. So in principle, we assume Eretz Yisrael has a Kedusha, as a Kedusha Saret. But we say, for technical reasons, we don't want to point the finger who's guilty, but because we don't have Kol Yashveh HaLeo, there are some people who are not in there so are supposed to be there, so therefore we don't have any Yovel, therefore we don't have any Shemitah, and therefore we don't have any Shumas and Maitis. But basically, the Kedusha Saris is there. So with respect to what the Kedusha Saris, the Lekhet Shukhtar Peyot. Okay. The Lekhet Shukhtar Peyot, Peyot and all those, the things that some of the farmers don't observe, the Rabbanut doesn't Mefakech on that. The Rabbanut is only Mefakech on the Shumas and Maitis, because that makes Tevel. So if you don't mark his Trumas and Maitis, the food is also Bachila. If you don't give like a chick, say, you're only a ganef. That's not so bad for you. You're not the kind of mitzvah of like if she's a pen, you're ever going to eat it. So the death of Rabbanut is not achray on that. They're only achray on things that make trace b'di'edit. So that these inyanim I think everybody's familiar with, that we assume that kedusha shniyah kishul otilah, Eretz Yisrael has a kedusha, but that's not what people are observing or celebrating this season of the year. That's an old story from the days of Ezra. That has nothing to do with this period of the year. People are celebrating this season of the year the inyan of the Medina, the Medina Yisrael. So what does the Medina Yisrael mean to a religious Jew? We don't count the 50th year as a blank year.
Right.
We do not do that. Yes.
So
if you have a Bez Nagodol, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik writes in the Sefer Yom, if you have a Bez Nagodol counting, and they counted, apparently we assume that to have Shemitah you don't have to have a Bez Nagodol counting. That happens by itself, like Shabbos happens by itself. But to have Yovel declared as a separate year, a blank year, not part of the 7777, that you need a Bez Nagodol counting. So that we don't have any Bez Nagodol, we haven't had for quite a while. So the Yovel doesn't happen by itself, and the Shemitah does happen by itself. But even the Shemitah happening by itself is only Midrabbanan. That's the Machlokes Rebbe Nachum. We assume it's only Midrabbanan, because we know in advance that we're missing the conditions of Kol Yisrael. We're missing the condition that is necessary to observe the Yovel. So that's why even the 7-7, the Shemitah itself, we assume is only Midrabbanan. The majority of the returning nights, there is a significant minority who assume that Shemitah Bizmanaza is their writer, like the Chachamim the Rebbe. In fact, the Keset Mishnah and the Rambam, in the Keset Mishnah there are contradictions. In some places he writes that the Rambam's opinion is that Shemitah Bizmanaza is Minan Torah. In other places he writes, no, that the Rambam's opinion is that Shemitah Bizmanaza is only the Rabban. The contradiction in the Keset Mishnah. Obviously he changed his mind over the years. It took him many years to write the Keset Mishnah. He changed his mind. So what's celebrated today is not so much Eretz Yisrael, Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. That's a marvelous thing. That's as old as the hills, Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael's been around for a long time. That didn't come into existence in Tavshin Chet. Like the Kedushas HaTorah is around. Okay. So the Kedushas Tefillin, Kedushas Mezuzah. So the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael is around for a long time. The celebration is about the Medina. So the question is, what is the significance of the Medina, if any? And why do other people refuse to celebrate, refuse to observe anything in connection with the Medina? It's a historical issue. You have to know the history of Hakamas HaMedina. So first of all, before you people were born, there was a Holocaust, where millions and millions of people were killed, and millions of Jews were killed. And during the years that the Nazis were killing all the Jews, none of the nations of the world were interested in saving the Jews. But they were interested in saving their own skin. So when Hitler became too powerful, and was going to take over the whole world, so then the nations of the world decided they want to save their own skin. So after they saved themselves, and the Germans lost the war, and there were thousands and thousands, I don't know the numbers, there were thousands, there were not millions, but there were thousands and thousands of several hundred thousand Jews in the displaced persons camps, the DP camps. The nations of the world were still not interested in taking care of the Jews. Nobody wanted to let the Jews in. So after the war was over and Hitler was gone and the Nazis were gone, the Jewish people, the Jewish refugees, the Jews in the DP camps still had no place to go. They were still not taken care of. No country in the world wanted to let them in. America would take in a few, five Jews a year. Britain would take in five Jews a year. Britain was in charge of Eretz Yisrael, so they also wouldn't let in so many Jews. And with all the pressuring and pressuring, nothing helped. And the only thing that saved the Jews at that time, that they had an opportunity to go somewhere, was when they established Medina Yisrael, it was under Jewish control. So they said they're opening up the gates. So whoever is Jewish can come. So that's where all the Jews went. In fact, when the Jews were in the DP camps after the war, so they were filling out questionnaires and they were asked where they're interested in going, what country in the world do they want to go to. So they said, right, your first choice, second choice, third choice, whatever. So many, many thousands, I think more than 50% of them could be, they wrote, first choice is Palestine, the second choice is crematory. That's, they won't let them go back. Parents itself, they won't let them into Israel, they'd rather go back to the crematory, they'd rather die. Because they saw that no one is interested in taking care of the Jews. So the establishment of the Medina Yisrael was Pashat HaHatzalah for all of those hundreds of thousands of Jews in the DP camp. And this nobody can deny. This is documented. That it took quite a long time. From the time the war was over until Hakam Samadin, it took a few years. And in those years, nobody was taking care of these people. And the American government, the American army was in charge of these DP camps. And the congressmen kept on going over to visit and to see. And they saw that it was terrible. And garbage, but nothing happened. And they were complaining. And the president of the United States, Truman, fired a big general because he didn't listen to General Patton, whatever his name was. It was headlines in the New York Times at that time. He fired the general because he didn't listen to the instructions that he gave. And he kept on going like that. They still didn't improve the conditions of the Jews in the DP camps, and they were still miserable. They still were not taken care of. Nothing got taken care of until they established the Medina. Then the Jews went to Eretz Yisrael. So this was simply, people felt that this was the fulfillment of the promise that the Torah said in the end of Hazinu, the end of Shiras Hazinu. So towards the end of Hazinu, it says a prophecy about this terrible Holocaust that's going to take place. And then the concluding pasuk is V'tifer Ad Masayama. So Rashi translates Pshat of the pasuk, V'tifer HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be Mephayis. He will appease his nation and he will appease Eretz Yisrael. The Chiper, after this whole tragedy of the Holocaust will occur, the Chiper Ad Masayam, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will appease his Jewish people. It was like a Tchias HaMeisim on the Jewish people. The second Indian in Hakamas HaMedina was the Chiper Ad Masayam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had appeased Eretz Yisrael, Palestine at that time. Now the little boy was known as Palestine. Palestine was in a state of desolation. And the Sukkim and the Chumash say that the Jews were chased out of Eretz Yisrael, and think of the Jews were sent into exile because of their sins. But Eretz Yisrael was given over to the Umas Olam, to those who were harassing us, who were killing us, but nothing ever grew, called man, that it was under non-Jewish control. Rashi quotes from the Tanoim commenting on the pasuk in the Teichachem B'chukosai, Rishamamu Aleho Aivechem, that when the Oivim were in control of Eretz Yisrael, the whole land was like a midbash moment. Nothing ever grew. They never succeeded in making anything good. It was a desolation. And only after the Bnei Yisrael came and they started planting and plowing and harvesting and everything, so then things started to grow. And they built up and they paved highways and they built houses and they built cities. And everything grew up. You people were born. There already was a whole fully prepared Medina. But when I was a little boy, it was a desolate place. It was a midbash mama. And this is what the Gemara says in the end of Sanhedrin. That the Gemara quotes the pasuk in the Navi Yeheskel, where the pasuk says, the Navi tells the trees, hurry Israel, the mountains of Eretz Israel should grow peiros, and the trees should grow, and the peiros should grow. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Bnei Yisrael back to Eretz Yisrael. So the Gemara quotes that pasuk and they comment, Ein lecha keitz megula mizeh. When you see this happening, so you see that that's the end of the Golus. So that's what the Gedolim said, that's what the Chazon Ish, all the Gedolim said, that Eretz Yisrael was beginning to flourish, everything was growing. So he said that that's the end of the Golus. That the nevuahs of the prophets were being fulfilled. If there was a Shivas Tzion, what is Shivas Tzion? Shivas Tzion is on the assumption. What's the Indian of Shivas Tzion? There's an Indian that the Jews are supposed to be living in Eretz Yisrael. There is such a mitzvah, a Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. The Ramban writes it as one of the Minyan HaMitzvahs, and he picks on the Rambam. He asks why the Rambam didn't mention it in the Minyan HaMitzvah. So some Achrayim, the Knesset HaGdolah quotes, the Knesset HaGdolah is a Likud of Achrayim on the tour. But the Sefer wrote a Likud of Rishayim and Achrayim that were up until his time. And the Knesset HaGdolah wrote a Likud from the days of the Beis Yosef until his time. And then the Chidor wrote a Likud from the days of the Knesset HaGdolah until his time. Likute basa likute, like the Shlokhi said we had yesterday. So the Knesset HaGdolah was one of the Sefer HaLikutim on the tour. So the Knesset HaGdolah quotes in Ebenezer, the statement about Hakol Malin Leretz Yisrael, the Mishnah in the end of Ksubas formulates a din. The Mishnah in Ksubas Dafayim Beis says that whenever a man divorces his wife, he has to pay his wife Ksubas. Either it's a din min Torah, there's a minority opinion among the Tanan that Ksubas deraisa, we paskin, the Rabbin and Tam paskin like that, we paskin that Ksubas love deraisa. We paskin the whole idea of Ksubas, Shleite Tal of the Anabal Hazdiyah. The Takanah of the Rabbanan, the husband has to pay Ksuba, that the wife should feel secure in the marriage, that he shouldn't be able to dump her so easily, so readily. If he wants to get rid of her, he has to pay. But that's only by Medva Mamurim, if it's his decision or it's his fault. What if it's her fault? She's a miserable witch. She doesn't want to go to Mikveh. She doesn't want to have any children. She doesn't act seriously. Whatever. She's cursing him. She's cursing the Shvigah. She's a miserable wife. So the Mishnah and Dafayim Beis and Ksubas give you a list of things where we pin the blame on the wife and we say that it's her fault for destroying the marriage. Let's say the wife is Mizana Tachas Baidu. So the husband can't live with his wife. That's the end. She destroyed the marriage. So then the husband divorces her and he doesn't have to pay any Ksubas. It's not his fault. It wasn't his decision. He has no choice. He has to divorce her. Or if she's a miserable cook. Whatever. The Mishnah gives you a whole list of cases where it's the fault of the wife. We can pin the blame on the wife for ruining the marriage, and then the halacha says that the husband doesn't have to pay her the ksubah. So the Mishnah in the end of ksubah discusses the following case. Let's say a husband and a wife, a couple gets married, they live in Phoenix. And the wife decides, okay, darling, I'm moving there to Israel. Goodbye. Either come along or give me a gift. She says, what, are you crazy? He's making millions of dollars over here. There's some kind of a business over here. We never spoke about living in Eretz Yisrael. She says, well, I'm leaving. She's leaving and she gives him a prayer. Either he divorces or he comes along. So he says, I'll divorce you, but you're crazy. I'm not going to give you a debt. You destroyed the marriage. You're mishugana. You decided to move to Eretz Yisrael. So the Mishnah says in the end of Tzubis that it's not considered. That's not, doesn't fall under the case on, doesn't fall under the Mishnah Dafayim Beis, and whenever the wife is at fault for ruining the marriage, then she forfeits the ksuba, she's not entitled to ksuba. Whichever spouse makes the decision that they want to live in Eretz Yisrael, that's the normal decision, and the one who doesn't want to go along is considered the meshugana, and the one who refuses to go to Eretz Yisrael is the one who's responsible for ruining the marriage. Even though before they got married they never spoke about Eretz Yisrael, they never dreamt about it, they planned to stay over here in America. Nonetheless, that's what it says in the Mishnah. So there's a whole discussion in that Mishnah, the Eretz Ksuba, about the significance and the importance of living in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam quotes all the dinim, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes all the dinim. If you want to find this din in Eretz Yisrael, where does it say there's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? So you'll find it in Ebenezer, in the middle of Hilchas Ksubas. This is the context where it appears in the Mishnah, the end of Ksubas. This is the context where the Shulchan Aruch quotes it. One could have imagined a better place to put it than the Shulchan Aruch, but that's it. The Shulchan Aruch put it out of order. Shulchan Aruch put it back in the order that it appears in his mother. The Rambam put it in order. The Rambam puts it in Hilchos Malachim, that you have a right to live in any country you want, but especially Eretz Yisrael, and not Mitzrayim. The Rambam puts all these halachas together. Which part of the globe should the Jews live in? So he says Eretz Yisrael, and preferably you should have a Jewish government there, and you shouldn't live in Egypt, and then the husband wants to go here, the wife wants to go there. So he puts it in one place altogether. And in the Shulchan Aruch, they only put it in the Hilchos Ishus, in the Hilchos Ksubas, because that's where it appears in the Mishnah. But the Knesset HaGdolah comes to defend the Rambam. Why? From the Ramban Kasha. Why didn't the Rambam count this as one of the Taryag Mitzvahs, as the Mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael? So Shlosh Achrayim will say that perhaps the Rambam's opinion is that it's only a Mitzvah of the Rabban. Rambam has a klal in the Sefer HaMitzvot. He writes 14 Sharashim, the first half of the Sefer HaMitzvot. So he writes, you're only going to count mitzvahs deraisa, he's not going to include mitzvahs derabbanan. So perhaps the Rambam's opinion is that the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only derabbanan. Most of the Achrayim assume that that's really a defect. Very not the mashma in the Rambam, very not the mashma in the Gemara, very not the mashma in the Chumash. When the Rabban Shalom told the Rabbeinu, "Lech lochom yad chom lav chor tasher areka," that wasn't the Rabban Shalom speaking. Rabban Shalom, no, that's a din derayta. And starting from Parshas Lech Lecha till the end of the Chumash, it keeps on saying, "I want everybody to go to Eretz Yisrael. I want everybody to go to Eretz Yisrael." So why shouldn't that be a din derayta? The Pashto says that it certainly is a din derayta. The Pell is why the Rambam didn't count it in the Minyan HaMitzvah. That's the Rambam's kasha. So a lot of Achareidim say it must be, the explanation must be based on the other klolim that the Rambam wrote. The Rambam has the 14 sharoshim, the 14 klolim that guide him to determine what belongs in the Minyan HaMitzvah and what not. So the Rambam says whatever is a mitzvah klol is, whatever is a general mitzvah doesn't belong in the Minyan HaMitzvah. So many Achareidim write that perhaps this mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael is considered a mitzvah klol is. Those who live in Eretz Yisrael are part of Klal Yisrael. Those who don't live in Eretz Yisrael are not part of Klal Yisrael. We spoke about it on different occasions. And maybe the Rambam held that that's a mitzvah klol is. It's not a separate mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. You should live in Eretz Yisrael in order to be part of Klal Yisrael. Living in Eretz Yisrael enhances the observance of all the mitzvahs. When you observe Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael, it's more of a kiyum than if you observe Shabbos in Chutzlaret. When you observe tefillin and mezuzah in Eretz Yisrael, it's more of a kiyum than observing tefillin and mezuzah in Chutzlaret. Rashi, in fact, in his commentary on Chumash and the parasha is Kriya Shema, right? Appears at the end of the first parasha, Shema, at the end of Ha'yom Shema as well. At the end of Ha'yom Shema, it follows Golus. It says, B'charach Hashem B'chem, Kodesh Baruch will get angry to worship of it. If you do Averis, it will send you into Golus. So Rashi quotes from this refrain on that pasuk from the Tanoim that even when you live in Chutzlaret, you should still continue to observe Tefillah Mezuzah. What's the Chiddush? That even in Chutzlaret, it's a Chodes Agur. So Rashi quotes the pasuk in Navi, Hatzivu Lach Tziyunin. The Navi Yirmiyah tells Bnei Yisrael that they should try to remember and reminisce about the mitzvahs that they have to observe in Eretz Yisrael. They should try to make a zeichet to all of those mitzvahs. Like we have, the Gemara says that the Sfiras Ha'emet Bizman is Zeich Midirabban, and it's a zeichet l'migdash. We have a lot of mitzvahs like that that is zeichet l'migdash. So Rashi in effect is quoting from the Tanaim that we should continue to observe Tefillin and Mezuzah and Chutz Lored as zeichet l'Eretz Yisrael. The real place of Tefillin and Mezuzah is in Eretz Yisrael. And the Chutz Lored, it's only that we should remember what the mitzvahs are like, so that when we come back to Eretz Yisrael, it shouldn't be brand new. We shouldn't be shocked by the Tefillin and Mezuzah. So the Ramban in his commentary on Chumash talks about that. What do you mean? What do you mean? Tefillin and Mezuzah is a chayvus aguf. It's not a chayvus karka. It's not an agricultural mitzvah. The agricultural mitzvahs only apply in Eretz Yisrael. And the fact that we today are mafrish chalav and chutzlaret, that's only midirabbanan zeichel shalot yishtakach taras chalav. That is right in the end of the first Beit Kedushin. You shouldn't forget the whole mitzvah of chalav. For 2,000 years, the Jews weren't living in Eretz Yisrael. If you're going to forget the mitzvah, shalot yishtakach mitzvah chalav, so the Chachamim introduced chalav and chutzlaret. They introduced shumas and maizis and chutzlaret, barotas hasmuchas and Eretz Yisrael also. But to say that you have to have tefillin and mezuzah and chutzlaret in order that things should be chadashim b'yeinechem when you return back to Eretz Yisrael, what does it have to do with tzivilach tziyunim? That's not a zeichet Eretz Yisrael, that's a real bona fide mitzvah in Atar. So the Ramban there and in other places develops his theory that the Yikar Makom Cheshmiris and mitzvahs is really in Eretz Yisrael. But his Baruch is referred to as Elokei Ha'aretz, the Seichem Malachim. When the Kusim were transported from Eretz Kusa to Eretz Yisrael, so they still practice Avodah Zarah, and the lions came to attack them. And there are no lions in Eretz Yisrael. So this is a wild thing. Where did the lions come from? So they understood that this is a Pismin HaShemayim, that the Jewish God is Elokei Ha'aretz, he's the God in Eretz Yisrael, so you have to, if you want to live in Eretz Yisrael, you've got to live by his rules. So they converted, officially they converted. It was like today's conversions. There was no Kabbalah on mitzvahs, they didn't mean anything. It says that Elohim Hayu Ovdim, they still continue to worship Avodah Zarah, and that gear was the Taka, not valid. It was drawn the Pelech, Tosfos points out. The original gear that the Kusim did was absolutely worthless, Mechaladeus, that's not a dispute. The Gemara has a Machloikis. Whether the conversion that the Kusim had was a valid gear or not a valid gear, the Tosfos says that's a historical Machloikis, not a halachic Machloikis. Was there a point in history after the original Gevurah described in Sefer Melachim at which time they were Megayah the second time with the Kabbalah on this? But the first conversion that's described in Sefer Melachim says that's absolutely worth it. So was for sure there was no Kabbalah on this. And the Anjou says he wants to convert, but he doesn't want to keep any mitzvahs. He's going to continue to worship Avodah Zarah. So Yikar Chosman HaSefer says there's no Kabbalah on this, so the Gevurah is meaningless. But it did help. It says in the Sukkah, historically, it helped. The lion stopped attacking them. So somehow, this idea, this wild idea that they had, that the Jewish God is Elokei Haaretz, he's the God of Eretz, the song of God, when you live in Eretz, so you got to become Jewish, and they converted superficially without a couple of them, so somehow it did help. The lion stopped attacking them. As it says in the Sukkah. So apparently, this concept, we don't understand fully what it means, but this concept has some validity. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Elokei Haaretz. And Eretz Yisrael, the Ramban writes in his brief, in the end of the Mitzvah Saseh, the Rambam has three parts to the Sefer Mitzvah. The first part he lists off the Yudal Sharashim, and then the second part of the Sefer Mitzvah, he lists off the actual Mitzvahs, and that's divided into two parts. He has the Chelek of the Mitzvah Saseh, then the Chelek of the Mitzvah Slay Saseh. So the Rambam disagrees every couple of pages with some Mitzvah Saseh or some Mitzvah Slay Saseh that the Rambam listed, and he deletes, every so often he deletes the Mitzvah Saseh. At the end of the Chelek of the Mitzvah Saseh, he has to replace the 17 mitzvahs that he deleted with another 17 mitzvahs that the Rambam forgot to mention, so that everything adds up to the sum total of Tayyag. And the listing of the mitzvahs later says, the Ramban deletes several of the Lavan of the Rambam, and then he has to replace them with other loisets, in which, in his opinion, the Rambam failed to count, in order that everything should add up to Tayyag. And the end of the Minyan Mitzvah Saseh, Ramban has his list of the 17 mitzvahs that he thinks, Mitzvah Saseh, that he thinks the Rambam forgot to mention. So Mitzvah Saseh, Dalit is the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So he has a short paragraph, not so long there, so he quotes Midrashim that Eretz Yisrael described as Palkin Shalmela. It's the palace of the king. And that's what the Avnei Nezer has a long essay about this in the second Chelek Yerideya. The Chuvas and the Avnei Nezer go in the order of the Shulchan Aruch. So there is no section in Shulchan Aruch about the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. So the Avnei Nezer put his Chuvas, he was asked to Shaila, is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael as man has that? If there is, how come the Gedolei HaChasidus didn't go to Eretz Yisrael? The ones who asked him the Shaila were Hasidus. And he was a Chassidish Rebbe also. So that was the second half of the Shaila. Is there a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael as man has that? And his answer was yes. And if there is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, like that, yes, how come the Gedolei HaChassidus didn't go to Eretz Yisrael? So he gives an explanation on that as well. So the middle of it says, this Chuvah here is in Chelek Sheni of Yerideya, in the section where Trumas HaMaisis would be. He lived in Poland, so he didn't ask him any Shabbos about Trumas HaMaisis. He didn't ask him any Shabbos in Eretz Yisrael. Only the Jews in Europe asked him Shabbos. So in the section where in the Yerideh there would have appeared Hilchus Trumas HaMaisis, Siman Shin Lamed Aleph, in Yerideh, that's where it's Hilchus Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't correspond, in Yerideh there is no Hilchus Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. So he has a little bit of a theme on this, and he points out that if a person is not observant, that the person is a Bala Avera, means not to keep the Mitzvah Sater, so to continue to do Avera, so he better not go to Eretz Yisrael. He better stay in Chutzlof. Because he's going to go to Eretz Yisrael. He's going to be married in Malchus in front of the capital, in front of the palace of the king. Eretz Yisrael is referred to by the Talmud and the Medrash as Palkin Shalmela. Let's say if a guy lives in New York and he curses out the President of the United States and he curses out the Congress, that's a heifer nabe. If he's in Washington and he's cursing out in front of the Pentagon, he's cursing out in front of the White House, the government, it's more of a aver of murder malchus in front of the government offices. So one who does any aver is a murder malchus. And if you do the aver in Eretz Yisrael, anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, that's a bigger aver. That's how the Avnei Nezer interprets the Gemara. So the Gemara in the last parak in Brachos interprets various dreams. So if you have this kind of a dream, it means this. If you have that kind of a dream, it means that. A lot of interpretations of dreams. So the Gemara has one of the interpretations is that the person sees barley in his dream, I wouldn't even know what barley looks like. If the person lives on a farm, I guess he knows what barley looks like. So if he sees barley in his dream, Harayu Sa'orim, he should understand from that what's the interpretation of the dream. Sa'orim is a simen that you have a mechilas avayim. So one of the hachamim who lived in Babel was interested in going on Aliyah. He wanted to move to Eretz Yisrael, but he was afraid to go to Eretz Yisrael because people do averus, people talk Lashon Hara, and they do Bikul Tera, and they cheat on income tax, people do all kinds of big averus, little averus, they don't treat their wives properly, all kinds of averus people do. So he was afraid to move to Eretz Yisrael because whoever does an averus in Eretz Yisrael, the averus is compounded. Not only is the Merv Malchus far away, the Merv Malchus in the Palsu Shalmel, till he had this dream that he saw the barley, And when you see Bali, this, the interpretation of the dream is Sar Avanaska Bachatos Katakuper, Heri Simon Amachilas Avainas, that he understood that that's a Simon in Hashemach, that he should go to Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't mean that the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael is only for tzaddikim, it doesn't apply to Beinonim. But what it means is, Vataki Ha'aretz Eschem, if you're going to do Avairus in Eretz Yisrael, then Eretz Yisrael is going to vomit you out. The mitzvah means that mitzvah Yishuv also applies to everybody. But if a Baal Aveir moves to Eretz Yisrael, so it's a bigger Aveir. He's murdered Malchus in front of the palace in the palace of Shalmel, so it's a greater Aveir. So this is, Avnei Neh does a very long, fascinating tshuva. All of his tshuvas are very sharp and always very much to the point and very fascinating. So he speaks about the importance of living in Eretz Yisrael. This was the beginning of Hakamas HaMedina. For so many years, they didn't let any Jews come to Eretz Yisrael, and the Jews came to Eretz Yisrael, even though they did come under the British in the late years, they didn't let Jews come. Even when it was possible for Jews to come, how would they make a parnasa? There wasn't a way to make a living. Nothing. The whole place was desolate. It was a dry area. It was Midbar Shmama. So that's what happened after Hakamas HaMedina. It was possible for the Jews to come, and many, many Jews came on Aliyah. So that's what to celebrate. Mar tells us in the first parak in Yuma, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was angry when he gave Bnei Yisrael the opportunity to come back to Eretz Yisrael in the days of Ezra and Nehemiah. And the overwhelming majority of the people did not come. Most of the religious Jews stayed behind in Babel. They didn't want to go to the Zionists, Eretz Yisrael. Who they had there in Eretz Yisrael? They had the Gerim and the Mamzerim and the Chalolim and the Nesinim and the Kusim. Asari Yuchsin Olei Mami Babel. Morris says that when they came to Eretz Yisrael, there was such a mix of Sulei Kol, everybody was there. The religious people, the good Yichas, remained behind in Babel. And the Jews in Babel wouldn't want to intermarry with the Jews in Eretz Yisrael. Mar tells the story that Rav Chiya was a star student of Rav Yudah Nasi. He came from Babel to Eretz Yisrael to learn by Rav Yudah Nasi. So Rav Yudah Nasi wanted him to take out his daughter. He said he wasn't interested. Not that the girl wasn't good looking. I should marry a girl who's a Suffolk Mamzeret. The Jews from Babel wouldn't marry anybody from Eretz Yisrael. So Rabbi Ranasi felt insulted. So he says, my prayer is kosher, my daughter is not kosher. What's the matter? Why aren't you interested? So he didn't answer. He didn't marry his daughter. He married someone else. He didn't want to. The Gemara says in the last prayer in Kiddushin that all of the Jews who came back to Eretz Yisrael, some of them were Miyuchasim, but most of them were such an Issa. And Issa means such a mixture. The Gemara has an expression, Eretz Yisrael is Issa LeBavel. Eretz Yisrael is like a dough. Like a woman is baking a cake, so she throws in a pinch of this and a pinch of that. Yes, how do you make the cake? She can't give you a recipe. Just throw in intuitively a little bit of this, a little bit of that. It's an Issa that has everything mixed in. So the Gemara says that the Zionists who moved to Eretz Yisrael in the days of Ezra Nehemiah had a lot of psulei kol. There were a lot of problems there. Everything was all mixed in together. And the kosher of Jews, the religious Jews, stayed behind in Babel. So one might have thought that they did right. They didn't want to mix in with these people. So the Gemara says they didn't do right. And the Baruch Shalom was angry. He was angry at Bnei Yisrael. So that's what we celebrate, the fact that 1948 the Medina was established, and it gave an opportunity to have another Shiva Sin. It gave an opportunity for more people to move into Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael was, for all the years that it wasn't under Jewish control, it fulfilled the Nevuah that says in the Chumash, that says in the Eicha, and says in the other Sifrei Nevi'im, Chosek ki almana, not an almana whose husband died, but like an almana b'chaim, like an aguna whose husband is missing, and the wife is not mizaneh, she waits for the husband to come back. So too, Eretz Yisrael waited for the Bnei Yisrael to come back. And it really didn't give its Paris all along. When the Crusaders came, and the Turks came, and the British came, whoever took over Eretz Yisrael was never successful in making anything out of it. Until the Jews took over Eretz Yisrael in 1948, before and after, when the Jews came. So then they established the kibbutzim, yishuvim, and things were growing, and things were hopping and popping and happening. So that was the siman, that was the Eloch HaKeitz Megula Mizah, that was the siman, that Eretz Yisrael really belongs to the Jewish people. We celebrate a third thing on the occasion of Hakamas HaMedina. The Gemara tells us in Yevamos, in the end of Habo'al Yerimtoi, the Gemara says that the end of Perek Habo'al Yerimtoi, in the middle of Yevamos, the Mishnah discusses the significance of the Mishnah Piruvidia, that every person is supposed to get married and have children. And even after he's fulfilled the mitzvah tira b'rivya, the Gemara quotes a pasuk from Kohelet that says, "Ba'pleikes ra'az erecha v'la erev al tanach yadecha." That the farmer should plant the field in the morning, and even in the evening, he should continue to work on the farm. V'la erev al tanach yadecha. He shouldn't be lazy later on. So what is that alluding to? It means a person should always be industrious. Not to be a workaholic, but he should put in a full day's work. That's what it means. So the Gemara has additional levels of interpretation in the pasuk. So the Gemara says, even if a person already had children when he was young, he should try to have more children even in his old age, because as the pasuk continues, you can never tell. And the pasuk continues that you can never tell which parents will turn out to be better. Maybe the pears that you planted in the morning will not succeed. Maybe the stuff that you planted in the evening and the afternoon will be more successful. The Big Mara says, maybe the children that you had in your youth will not be so good. Maybe you weren't such a good father. You never had any courses on fathering children, parenting children, and then you learn from experience. And maybe the children that you have in your old age will be better children, so you'll be a more experienced parent. That's one possibility. That's what the Gemara says. That's the mitzvah la'erev al-tanach yadecha. That's discussed in the Shulchan Aruch. That even after a person already fulfilled the mitzvah, you shouldn't close up shop. You should try to have more children. As he is going, should try to have more. Then Gemara says the same is true regarding talmidim. Even if a person was a rebbe and he had a lot of success in teaching Torah, he shouldn't retire at an early age. As long as he's still able to transmit Torah to the students, he shouldn't retire. He should keep on teaching. As the pasuk says, you can never tell which Talmidim will be those who will be successful, whether Talmidim from the earlier years or Talmidim from the later years. And then Gemara tells the sad story about Rabbi Akiva, that he had 48,000 students, tremendous success, 48,000 students. And then they all died in a period of time, in 1 year it sounds like, between Pesach and Shavuot, because of whatever it says there, well, the Rav Sovereign that said that they all died. Gohaya Ha'adam Shomim, and the whole world was desolate from Liman HaTorah. There was a Churban HaTorah, 48,000 rabbinical students studying for other nations. 12,000. I forgot. So there's 24,000 rabbinical students. So it says, Gohaya Ha'adam Shomim, the whole world was desolate from Korah, until Rabbi Akiva came to a new location and he started teaching Torah anew. And this time he didn't have the 24,000 or the 12,000, whatever the number, he didn't have so many. He just had 5-6 students, and those were the famous Talmidim. That was Reb Shimon and Reb Judah and I already forgot all the time. All the famous Tanoim. And then the Gemara says, and it turned out that was his whole success. All the students from before, they all died out. And then there was again a resurgence of Torah after that. So that's why in Shulchan Aruch it's quoted that we observe, and it's quoted in the Gemara, that we observe a period of Avelos this season of the year, because the Gemara says it was this season of year that the students of Rabbi Akiva died. So when there's a big Churban HaTorah, he's supposed to observe Avelos. That's a tragedy for the whole world. And when later on there's a resurgence in Torah, so there's what to be excited about, there's what to celebrate. So that's what happened on the occasion of the Hakamas Medina as well. Not necessarily that this is what the founders of the Medina had in mind. I don't think the religious or the anti-religious ever had this in mind. But Lamaisa, that's what happened. During the years of the Second World War, there was a war going on for so long, they were killing Jews all over. There was such a Churban HaTorah. All the yeshivas in Europe were destroyed. So many Rabbanim, so many Tzaddikim, so many Talmid HaChamim were all destroyed. And the yeshiva students, many of them were killed, many of them were sold to Siberia, scattered all over the world, and there was a tremendous Churban HaTorah. And then afterwards, after the establishment of Medina Yisrael, so many of them were saved to Eretz Yisrael. And not only was there a resurgence in Eretz Yisrael of each one of the Hasidic dynasties and each one of the Labatki Yeshiva, Mir Yeshiva, Telgi Yeshiva, each yeshiva with its own style of learning, the Kodeshah with the Galitziana, with the Litzvashah, each one re-established. But what we have now is a system that all the Jews in America send their children to learn in Eretz Yisrael for a year or two. When they come back, they have a hashpah. It has a tremendous hashpah on the children, has a tremendous hashpah when they come back on the parents and on the siblings. It's a resurgence of Teretz. It is certainly what to celebrate. We see the fulfillment of the pasuk in Mitzrayim Taisus Heretz Vayashem Yerushalayim. That there's a tremendous power of Liman HaTorah and Eretz Yisrael. Even though Liman HaTorah is not an agricultural mitzvah, it's not been a mitzvah Satluis Boretz. So it should be Mehagis Ben Boretz to Ben Mechutz Boretz, and it does. This Liman HaTorah applies all over the world, but somehow the Tanakh does speak about the significance of Liman HaTorah and Eretz Yisrael as opposed to Chutzpah. So when we have a new Kabbalah HaTorah Mechadosh, that certainly is a special occasion to celebrate. The Gemara in Chagiga and Afhei on the days quotes the psukim that speak about how Kadosh Baruch Hu is shedding tears in Yirmiyah. The Moa Tidma, the Teri, so the Gemara says that if you add together, the pasuk sounds like it says HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheds three tears every day. What is he crying about? So the Gemara has different suggestions. So the first suggestion is Shelvish Tumot HaLoba Lomo, one tear that he sheds is on the Mikdash Rishon, that was Chorev, one tear on the Mikdash Sheni Shechorev, and one tear on Shagol Yisom Im Koyma, on the fact that the Jews went into Golus. So Yikad Yami, another version has it, one on Mikdash Rishon, one on Mikdash Sheni, one on Bikul Torah. The fact that there's so much people to break the Gemara, but the pasuk says the Tamaya Tidma Enavitari Dani Dimit Kinizba Eder Hashem. How does it come to people to it says Kinizba Eder Hashem says the fish because the Goli told him Kano? The Gemara says no. Even if the Goli told him Kano, Enoch Bikul Torah, God only there. That's what the pasuk means. That pasuk in Yirmiyah that says HaKadosh Baruch Hu shedding tears because the Jewish people went into Golos, that means because they went into Golos, that's why there's such a people terror. When the Jewish people will return back to Eretz Yisrael, there will be a resurgence in Liman HaTorah. That's what the Gemara says in Chagiga. So that's what we saw in our generation. That for quite a few years, there was a tremendous people terror. And then after the Medina was established, there's a tremendous resurgence in Liman HaTorah. So many people learning about Yom. So many people learning a lot of things now. So that's definitely cause for celebration and for rejoicing. Another cause for celebration is also mentioned here in the Gemara, also a pasuk in Yirmiyah, same parak, Yirmiyah chapter Yud Gimel. The Gemara says that usually HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not always happy about things that are going on in the world. He doesn't demonstrate it, but just because things are happening, it doesn't mean that it's with his approval. Just because you have things going on in the university, it doesn't mean that Dr. Lehm approves, doesn't mean the Rebbe's approved. A lot of things happen, Shalor B'Tzayim Chachami. So a lot of things happen in the world, and the Baruch Shalom is not happy. Because there were so many millions of Jews killed, doesn't mean that the Baruch Shalom is mocking about everything that happened. There are tragedies, people dying, or there are tragedies all the time. So the Gemara says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't show his feelings on the outside. He cries, so to speak, the Gemara quotes the pasuk also in Yirmiyah. The Mistarim Tifkin Afshi, the same chapter in Yirmiyah, Yud Gimel. The Mistarim Tifkin Afshi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries privately. We don't see him crying, but when no one is watching, so to speak, he's not happy about what's happening in the world. The Gemara says on the occasion of the Churban Beis Hamikdash, then it was even obvious, it was even apparent that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was unhappy. The Gemara says because that's the whole tachlis of the creation of the world was that there should be a Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara says that's why Shaini Churban Beis Hamikdash, Afilu Malachi Sholem Bachu Shenema, the Gemara quotes Malachi Sholem Ma'ariz Koyim. So the pasuk says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is crying. Lo tishmo b'mistan titkin nafshi. Why is he crying? Mitznei geivo. What does it mean, mitznei geivo? So the Gemara has two interpretations. So the first interpretation is mitznei gavasim shal Yisrael shenitla mehem, because of the pride of the Jewish nation that it was taken away from the Jews. The Jews haven't had any pride for many, many centuries. V'nitna la'odik echovim. The pride of the Jewish people was taken away. So when they established the Medina, the pride of the Jewish people was given back to the Jewish people. After the Second World War, Many Jews were afraid to identify themselves as Jews. They were afraid to tell their children that they were Jews. They were afraid to perform a bris milah on their children. They didn't want to have any physical simon on their body that they were Jews. They were trying to keep it a secret. They were embarrassed over the fact that they were Jews, and embarrassed and petrified that such a Holocaust can happen again. And after the Medina was established, people became proud of the fact that they were Jewish. When they started making an Israeli parade in London and in Paris and in Los Angeles and New York City, many people came, Jews came out of the woodwork. They would wear yarmulkes, they wouldn't wear yarmulkes, but they weren't embarrassed by identifying as Jews. And they would go in the parade, and everybody would get, a lot of people who normally not wear yarmulkes would wear yarmulkes just in order to identify with Eretz Yisrael, whatever that meant to them. They didn't know exactly what Judaism was, they didn't know exactly what Eretz Yisrael was, but at least they were proud to be Jewish. And we more considered that a significant thing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu cries over the fact that there's no Jewish pride. Now when he gives back the Jewish pride, he's not crying anymore. It's what to celebrate. The Baruch Hu stops crying. It's crying about other things. Okay, still what to cry about. There's still many tragedies, but at least the pride of the Jewish people was returned to us. In the chapter from Tehillim that we recite before Tia Shofar, we say Lam Natzeach. So we have in one of the Pesukim, Yivchalanu Es Nachalaseinu, is Yon Yaakov Asherah Hivsela, because Kadosh Baruch Hu should give us Eretz Yisrael, which is the pride of the Jewish people, Gaon Yaakov, the pride of the Jewish nation, Asherah Hivsela, which Kadosh Baruch Hu loves so much. Yeah, there is an Indian to have national pride, and to have pride in your country. If the Jews don't have any Medina, so there can't be any national pride. When they get back in Medina, so there is national pride. And the Gemara quotes the Pasuk in Yirmiyah, and interprets it, and they gave him, and they gave us, so that is considered a significant Indian. Another course of celebration is the next interpretation that the Gemara has, on the Hamid Beis and Chagiga. The Mistarim Sitka Napshi, after the Gopher cries privately, we don't see it, but he's unhappy about the situation. Mitnei Gevo, so the first interpretation the Amoraim gave was, and thank Avos Mishal Yisrael, because of the pride of the Jewish people, she mitla mehen, it was taken away from the Jews, and mitla love the cross. The second interpretation, the Gemara gives this, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar, thank Avos Mishal Malchus Shamayim. Because of the pride of the Jewish religion, the pride of the Jewish people, and the pride of the Jewish religion, there was a problem. For many, many years, the Christians, who claimed to be the twin religion with the Jewish faith, like Yaakov and Esav were twin brothers, so too the Christians claim that they are the sister religion with the Jewish religion, like Yaakov and Esav. So they said that because the Jews rejected Jesus, they didn't accept him as God, so that's why the second temple was destroyed, and the Jews were sent into Golos. The dates don't exactly correspond, because Yoshke didn't die at the age of 70. The Hamikdash was carved when Yoichel was around 70 years old. Before, according to their story, he was born around the year zero or so, give or take a couple of years. So the second base Hamikdash was not destroyed in the year 70, but that's the story, the way they perpetrated such a thought, that because of the fact that the Jews didn't accept Jesus as God, that's why they were punished, and the second base Hamikdash was destroyed, and we lost our status as the Yam HaNivchar, and we will never be entitled to return to Eretz Yisrael until we will accept Jesus. Because they, the Christians, the followers of Yoshke, they are the real Amanis, but we are not the Amanis. So that's why, historically, the Catholic Church was always opposed from day number one, they were opposed to the Zionist movement. They were publishing all the time in their newspapers their reaction towards the Zionist movement when it first started a long time ago. So they said, it's against their according to their beliefs, it's never going to come off the ground. The Jews will never establish a Medina. So they were always against it, because the Jews are supposed to be damned and punished because they rejected Jesus. And they're not going to come back to Eretz Yisrael. So that's why even after the Medina was established, they were stunned. How can it be? But it's one of the animamins in their religion, because the Jews will never return to Eretz Yisrael, so they never recognized the Medina all along. And they were hoping it was going to go away. They were hoping it was going to disappear, but it didn't disappear. So they had to develop a terrace. So the official terrace that they developed over the years, after a couple of years of the Medina remaining, so the terrace was, but they don't have the real Eretz Yisrael, the real Makor. They have Tel Aviv, they have the modern city Yerushalayim, but they don't have Be'er Atika, the real old city Yerushalayim, they don't have. So this was the Tarek, the official Tarek until Melchamet Sheshet Hayamim. After Melchamet Sheshet Hayamim, so that Tarek was off. So you got to say the Oid Yeshlana. So what are you going to give another Tarek? They didn't know what Tarek to say. So at that time, the official position of the Catholic Church was, right away, we have to internationalize Jerusalem. It means to take away Jerusalem from the Jews. So we'll have our first Tarek will be the correct Tarek, that the Jews don't have Yerushalayim. That's what they kept on pressing. Arayana there. When the Pope went to visit Eretz Yisrael, he said, again, we have to internationalize Jerusalem. It's not that he had sympathy for the Arabs. He had sympathy for his religion. They have an animamin that the Jews cannot have control of Eretz Yisrael because they haven't accepted the Yashkit, because they are not the Amanitza, the Catholics are. The Christians are the Amanitza. Eretz Yisrael is only for the Amanitza. That's what we say. Eretz Yisrael is for the Amanitza. Except that we hold that we're the Amanitza, and they hold that they're the Amanitza. This was an old debate from the beginning of the Christian movement. The Gemara has a debate. The Gemara records the debate on the same daf, on Hamad Beis. That one of the early Christians, the Minim, is the term the Gemara uses for the early Christians. So he had a debate in pantomime in the presence of the king with Rabbi Shua, who was it? Rabbi Shua ben Hananya. So he was demonstrating in pantomime the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu has rejected the Jewish people, that we are no longer the Amanitza, and find that they are the Amanitza. And Rabbi Shua ben Hanani said, no, we are the Amanitza. We suffer so much. No, like a parent gives fetch to his child. Doesn't mean that he doesn't love the child anymore. He loves the child and is going to see to it that he's going to straighten out the child. So the status of Amanitza has not been lost. But this was the Christian claim for many, many centuries, that the Jews don't have control of Eretz Yisrael. So they lost their status of Amanitza, and they are the Amanitza. And there was a Bizoyanim quote Shamayim. It was an embarrassment to the Jewish religion. So at the occasion of the Hakamas Hamdina, the Catholic Church didn't care the fact that most of the Miyazni Hamdina Brapikus and Mishabadim Tsiyanin, they didn't care about that. The Jews had a Medina. That can't be. They should have said the territories that they're not Jewish. They should have said, they didn't realize that territory. Why? Because the perception is, it's a Jewish country, it doesn't matter. Religious, not religious, anti-religious, it didn't matter to them. How can it be that there's a Jewish government controlling Israel, so they perceive that as a serious problem to their religion? So that's what the Gemara says. The second interpretation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was crying, in the storm to Kanapsha Mitne Gevo, that they thought it in Yirmiyah, chapter Yigimim, think of Osa Shamalchu Shamayim, because of the fact that there was an embarrassment, there was a busha to the Jewish religion, that the Eretz Yisrael is no longer controlled by the Jewish people, and the Umas Olam are tanting, and they're claiming that the Jews are no longer the Amanitza. So when you have a Hakamas HaMedina, you have a Jewish government controlling Eretz Yisrael, so you have Gavasa Shemalchus Shamayim, the Jewish religion is more the Kavadik than it was before. There's more Kavadik, there was no Kavadik at all. At least now there is cover. A sixth occasion, six reasons for celebration is what the people from Merkez Hareb Kook emphasized. They're young people, so they weren't around to realize the first five things. So they celebrate the sixth. The sixth is Malchus Yisrael, a mitzvah. One of the Taryag Mitzvot HaTorah is that we have to have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. There's Malchus HaMesodim and there's Malchus Yisrael. So when you have a Jewish government controlling Eretz Yisrael, it is not a mitzvah. We celebrate over the occasion, over the opportunity to fulfill another mitzvah of having a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael. Forget about the fact that having a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael gives more covet to Malchus Shamayim, gives more covet to the Jewish religion, gives more covet to the Jewish people. Forget about all that. Just say Malchus Yisrael is a mitzvah. One of the mitzvahs of Torah, to have Malchus Yisrael. The mitzvah Bishlei Musar would have been to have a kingdom as opposed to a democracy. And the mitzvah Bishlei Musar would have been that it should be a Malchus Beis David, the official Malchus on affairs. But under the circumstances, apparently, we're not ready for that. We're not ready for a kingdom. We're not ready for a Malchus Beis David even. So whatever, we have a government in ourselves, so that's a partial mitzvah, the partial fulfillment of the mitzvah of having Malchus Yisrael. One of the yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael, which was founded by people who learned America's Arab, decided one day they're going to learn Sanhedrin, so they're going to start from the second parak in Sanhedrin. What's that? It's the second parak. Some people learn Sanhedrin from the beginning because they want to learn Kosher Mishpat, and they skip the second parak. No, they're starting from the second parak. Second parak is Perak Tangwadal has all the Dina Mamelech. That's where we begin, Malchus Yisrael. So they start from the beginning of the parak about the Dina of Tangwadal, but right away you get into the Hilchos Melech. And then you have later in Sanhedrin some aspects of Melech HaMashiach and the end of Sanhedrin. But that's certainly a reason to celebrate. We now have a Malchus Yisrael, which is a mitzvah that we hadn't had the opportunity to fulfill for many years. The people from Merkos Rav Kook are often attacked as being messianists. They have this frenzy that the Medina is leading to Bias HaMashiach, and therefore they do crazy things. It's not really their fault, this concept. This was instituted by two Rabbi Kook, Harishon, the father of Tzvi Yehuda Kook, the first chief rabbi of Eretz Yisrael, had two traditions. His mother was from Lubavitch, and his father learned in Volozhin. So his mother had traditions from the Baal Shem, but his father had traditions from his own Zohar, from Chaim Volozhin. So the tradition from both was, the tradition from the Baal Shem, as well as the tradition from the Vilna Gaon was, and this is printed up in English and Hebrew and other languages, that they both encouraged their followers. The Baal Shem encouraged his Hasidim, his Talmidim, and the Vilna Gaon encouraged his Talmidim. They should all move there to Israel, and this will hasten the coming of Mashiach. This will somehow bring about, based on Kabbalah sources, which I'm not familiar with, this will hasten the coming of Mashiach. Do we have an obligation to hasten the coming of Mashiach, or is it just a good idea? It's certainly a nice idea that we should hasten the coming of Mashiach. Do we have an obligation? So what opinion in the Gemara in the end of Kabbalah Yimta, again, in the Sugya of Piri Verivya, is that that's exactly the nature of the mitzvah of Piri Verivya. The obligation to have children is in order to hasten the coming of Mashiach. That's what that mitzvah means. The Baruch Shel Olam created a world, and it's an incomplete world, and he promised that he's going to make a tikkun, he's going to redeem the whole world in the future, not just redeem the Jewish people, he's going to redeem the whole world and bring it to its state of perfection. That's the Mos HaMashiach. And we have the opportunity to help HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How so? By fulfilling Piri Verivya. How does that work? My Shmita Eitzel HaSinai. So the Gemara has a tradition, Ein Ben David Bo, HaTshiyuch L'Kol Neshama Shebaguf, that there is a chamber in heaven that's known as Guf, where all of the Jewish souls reside. And every time another Jewish baby is born, so another soul comes down from heaven and enters into the body of that Jewish baby. So the more people get married and have babies and have children, so the faster Mashiach will come. If you're going to wait till age 50 to go get married, and you're going to have only one or two children instead of having 15 children each, it's going to take forever for Mashiach to come. Everyone should marry young, marry as many wives as he can. Each wife should have 25 children. You hate the coming of Mashiach. So that's one opinion in the Gemara. That's the opinion we happen not to accept. We don't paskin on that. Because we paskin that that's not the nature of the mitzvah of Piri Verivya. We agree with what he said, that we have an obligation to do whatever we can to hasten the coming of Mashiach. And we agree with what he said, bringing another Jewish baby into the world means bringing down another soul from that chamber in heaven that's known as Guf, and that does hasten the coming of Mashiach. But the nature of the mitzvah of Piri Verivya is not that. Gemara says we pass and there's a machloek islalach, and we pass and if one had children and they died before they themselves had children, then he's not the fulfillment of Piri Verivya. According to the first opinion, that the idea behind the mitzvah of Piri Verivya is just to hasten the coming of Mashiach, and every Jewish baby is born brings out another soul, another neshama, so from this chamber that's known as Guf. Even if the children die, Guf, you brought down another soul. Next, time for the next soul to come down. Every baby is born brings down another soul. So we taught them that that is not the nature of the mitzvah of Piri Verivya. Piri Verivya is you have to have children who will survive, to whom you will transmit the Jewish values, to transmit the Torah to the next generation. But we do agree that that there is such an obligation hastily coming on Mashiach. So that's what the, what do we do? What do we do to hastily coming on Mashiach? So we pray HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rambam writes in the Tshuvas. We pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu every day. The Baruch Hashem has control over the matter. We don't have the control over Mashiach. So we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who does have the control, that he should hasten the coming of Mashiach. The Rambam writes in Geres HaShmad, I think, or Geres Teman, one of those two famous letters, that the fact that we daven every day for the coming of Mashiach is a fulfillment of this mitzvah in the Kabbalah. It appears in the Tzeyotra, I think, that we have to be in the tzapet for the coming of Mashiach, hakelo, we have to try to do whatever we can to hasten the coming of Mashiach. We have such a din in Bikur Cholim. The Gemara says in the Dor, the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim is not so much to visit the sick, but rather to heal the sick. Mitzvah of Bikur Cholim is to heal the sick. So if a person is a doctor, he can heal the sick. What if a person is not a doctor? The Gemara says Rabbi Kiva was not a doctor, but one of his students he had, what did he say, 24,000 students. The Gemara says one of the students that didn't show up in Beis Medrash and he noticed that he wasn't there. I only have 25 students, I don't notice when someone's not there. He had 24,000 students and he noticed that one of the students wasn't there one day, so he went to the dorm place to find out why the kid didn't wake up for Minyan, why wasn't his data. Found out that the kid was sick. The Gemara says that he washed his pajamas and he washed the floor and he changed the sheet and the kid got better. And you make sanitary conditions in the dormitory so the sick patients get better. That he fulfilled this is quoted in the Dharma in the Sugya of Bikur Cholim. So that's considered a kiyum mitzvah of Bikur Cholim. The mitzvah of Bikur Cholim is not so much to visit the sick, but rather to heal the sick. If the sick person is taken care of, he has doctors and nurses and medication and everything and sanitary conditions and someone else is washing his pajamas, so what's left for us to do? So what's left for us is to put him in a cheerful mood. Sometimes when you visit the sick and you put him in a happy mood, sometimes the guy is upset that he came to visit, he would have been happier that he wouldn't visit. Then there's no mitzvah people fail. It's not your mitzvah, it's a mitzvah to make him feel better. But you know that he's not happy when you come, so you're not supposed to go visit. But if you cheer him up, so being in a good mood sometimes also helps in the process of recuperation. So the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch, at the end of Yeridaya, you have the mitzvah Bikur Cholim. So the Ramah quotes the Ramban and not Gemara in the Dorm, that the Ramban has arrived from the Gemara, that if a person visits the patient and he changes his sheets and he washes his pajamas and gives him medication and everything, but he doesn't offer a prayer that the Cholim should get better, so the Ramban shows from the Gemara that you're not fully up to the mitzvah of Bikur Cholim because you didn't do the maximum that was in your ability to hasten the refuah of the patient, because he should have offered a prayer to the Baruch Shalom, who is the Rebbe called Boss, Machli Lazon. He should have offered a prayer that he should get better. If you didn't pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then you're not fully out to the mitzvah. The mitzvah of Bikur Cholim is to do whatever you possibly can to help the recuperation of the patient. So the same over here. We do have an obligation to hasten the coming of Mashiach. What can you do? So you can have children. Okay, that's one way. That's correct. And another way is to offer a prayer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who does control the situation. That's what the Rambam writes. That prayer, that bracha, was placed into the Shemoneh Esrei as a fulfillment of this mitzvah, the Kabbalah, to do whatever you can to hasten the coming of Mashiach. So that's a tradition. That's not Rav Tzvi Yehuda Kook didn't invent it. And Chief Rabbi Kook, the father, didn't invent it either. This was a tradition that he had from both sides of his family, both from the Hasidim and from the Mishnagdim. And much was written about this, that both the Baal Shem Tov and the Vilna Gaon said, based on Kabbalah sources, that the significance of moving to Eretz Yisrael is not only for its own sake, to fulfill the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, and to establish a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, is to hasten the coming of Mashiach. Somehow that will help in forcing the issue of HaKadosh Baruch Hu should bring Mashiach. Another significant eighth Inyan that we celebrate every year in commemoration of HaKamas HaMdina is the importance of establishing whom does the country belong to? Who does the land belong to? So Rashi in his opening remarks on Chumash quotes that the Umas HaOlam, Rashi quotes a Medrash, that the Umas HaOlam claim, listen, Matem, the Jews are Ganovim, that they stole Eretz Yisrael from them. That's all Reggie used to say years ago. It sounds like he just read that in the New York Times. Every day in the United Nations he used to say, listen Matan, the Jews are gone up. He said, Rashi, the first Rashi on Chumash, he quotes the complaint of the Umas HaOlam, the perennial complaint. Every year, the same complaint. Adayam Azeh, every year they keep on complaining that the Jewish people stole Eretz Yisrael. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says in Tehillim, Karach Maisim, Higim Liyama, Losses Lahem Machnas Goyim. What was the significance of writing the whole Sefer Bereishis? What do you need it for? The Torah is supposed to be a collection of mitzvahs. Start from HaKadosh Azalachem. That's what Rashi quotes in the name of the Medrash from Omer Rav Yitzchok. He says, Koyach Ma'isib Higim Li'ama HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the whole background that he created, Shemayim Va'aretz, Losses Lahem Nachlos Goyim. He told us this in order to explain that he's the boss, he owns the whole world, and whatever he says goes. And he decided to give Eretz Yisrael to the Umas HaOlam years ago. then he decided to give it to Avraham Avinu. And from the time that Avraham Avinu walked around Eretz Yisrael, Kum Hasal Baruch L'Orto L'Rach V'Kinecho Etzimeno, he gave Eretz Yisrael to Am Yisrael, and we never lost our ownership all the years. Sometimes you have a ganav who steals your property and you can't get it. But then when you get it back, you're not acquiring a new ownership. It belonged to me all along. So too, Eretz Yisrael belonged to the Jewish people all along, not from 1948. We're not celebrating that we finally got ownership over Eretz Yisrael. No, we got sovereignty. We established sovereignty. We established a Jewish government, a state of the Jewish Yisrael. But ownership of the land always belonged to the Jewish people. Eretz Yisrael is the one place in the world that's exempt, that's excluded from the international principle of Kibush Mokama. Everything else, all karka, all metalfalim, is subject to the rule of Kibush Mokama. That's a call that's developed in Gittu, and Daf Lamed Ches, and Daf Lamed Ches. But whenever you have one country wages war against the other country, Shaila, how do you determine country and how do you determine war? The Dvar Avram talks about that. And he quotes from Lira Rav. He sent him a letter, what's the definition? So the Lira Rav said, whenever the perception is, whenever the history books write that there was one country waged war against another country, and one country, whoever wins the war, whether right or wrong, whether the right, whether the good guys won or the bad guys won, doesn't make a difference who won. Whoever wins the war acquires ownership of all of the property, the karaka, with the metalfalim, with the people. The only people is Avadim, and the one and only exception to the rule. The Gemara says the rule applies whether one non-Jewish nation wins the war against another non-Jewish nation, whether a non-Jewish nation wins the war against the Jewish people, or the Jewish people wins the war against the non-Jewish people. Doesn't matter who won the war against who, but the one exception of Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael was promised, was given to Avraham Avinu, and was promised to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov that it will always be in the ownership of the Jewish people. We never lost our ownership during the 70 years of Golus Bavel, and we didn't lose our ownership at the occasion of the Korban Bayis Sheni. Eretz Yisrael always belonged to the Jewish people. And this is what, there used to be a fellow by the name of Abba Ibn, he's an old man now. Abba Ibn was not so religious, unfortunately, but he was the Israeli representative to the United Nations. He used to speak in British English. That's why they liked the way we spoke. So in British English, when he used to represent the Jewish Israel in the United Nations, they would always quote the Bible. He would open up a big fat Bible, and he would read some Psukim and Bereishis in English that God gave Abraham Eretz Yisrael. Our claim to Eretz Yisrael is the Bible. Our claim to Eretz Yisrael is not the Mechamet HaShechur 1948. If it's Mechamet HaShechur, so some Chacham is going to come up and say that was illegal, we had no right to, I have a whole argument. It has nothing to do with the 1948, nothing to do with the British. The British were Ganovim, and the Turks before them were Ganovim, and the Crusaders were Ganovim. Eretz Yisrael never had any shaykhis with any of them. It belonged to the Jewish people all along. So we are happy. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Mevar Mikchah Shel Tzadik. Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people. 1948, he gave it back to us. He gave it back what belonged to us all along. And we celebrate about that. We're happy about the fact that we finally got back the land that belongs to us. That's Echshidus. The ownership of Eretz Yisrael will always have. The sovereignty, that began in 1948. And the Gemara says in the end of Megillah, the last half of Megillah, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the bridge, the covenant with Avraham Avinu over Eretz Yisrael, Avraham Avinu asks them, Bamo Eida Ki Yir Hashenu. What kind of a question is that? That's on Lamed Aleph on the base. Bamo Eida Ki Yir Hashenu. How do I know they're going to keep your promise? Sounds like a chutzpahdik question. The Mesillas Lashon quotes from the Bereishis Rabbah that one of the Amoraim is of the opinion that Taka Avraham Avinu was punished because he said Bamo Eida Yir Hashenu, because he said that expression Bamo Eida, that's how Kadosh Baruch Hu said, oh boy, Yadoa Teira, you're going to know Yadoa Teira, you're going to suffer Golus Mitzrayim because of your questioning me, how do I know they're going to keep her promise? So that opinion in the Medrash assumes that Avraham Avinu's question was out of place. This was off limits. How do I know you're going to keep your promise? What kind of a chutzpah question is that? But the Gemara has a tradition. This is what's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch. Gemara has a tradition that he asked a good question. He was asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in what chutz will my descendants, will I and my descendants have the right to maintain sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael? Eretz Yisrael belongs to the Jewish people, always belongs to the Jews, fine. But then, when we have sovereignty, what chutz do we have to have in order to maintain sovereignty? HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, call the Eglim Mushaleshes, the Chulei, So what does that mean? The chus hakarbonis, that the Jewish people should bring karbonis. Avraham Avinu asks Hakadosh Baruch Hu, "Tainach bizman shebeis hamikdash kayam." This is good when you have the opportunity, when you have the possibility to bring karbonis. Bizman shebeis hamikdash kayam matay alein. What right will the Jewish people have to maintain sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael when they don't have the opportunity to bring karbonis? The Ribbono Shel Olam said, "Let them at least display an interest in bringing karbonis." Malan alein, filu hikrivum. At least if they'll demonstrate Pratikanta Lahem Seder Karbonis, let them recite Parshas HaKarbonis, let them demonstrate an interest in bringing Karbonis. If they don't demonstrate an interest in bringing Karbonis, then they don't have the right to maintain sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael always belongs to the Jews, whether we like it or not, whether they like it, whether the Goyim like it or not, belongs to the Jewish people. But the right to maintain a sovereign, an independent Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael is only if either you bring in karbanos or you do the best that you can to display your interest in bringing karbanos. If you demonstrate that you couldn't care less, you're not interested in bringing any karbanos, then you have no right to maintain your sovereignty over Eretz Yisrael. So we celebrate on this occasion the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the sovereignty. Eretz Yisrael was the ownership of the Jewish people all along. He finally gave it back to his Mavar Mikvah Shel Tzadik. It belongs to the Jews, and we realize the challenge we have to see to it that we should try to prepare for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. There's another reason why we celebrate, a ninth reason why we celebrate it. And that's why this date was chosen, hey, here. This date is when they signed the Declaration of the Medina. If I'm not mistaken, I think hey, here in 1948 was on Erev Shabbos, and Vav year was on Shabbos, and the British mandate was over Eretz Yisrael at midnight, in the middle of the night. So it wasn't really legal that they should declare a Medina on Erev Shabbos. They had to wait till after midnight. But because they were sure that there would be a lot of Chil Shabbos, that they were going to sign a declaration after midnight. So they made the declaration on Erev Shabbos to avoid most of the people who were signing were not Shomer Shabbos. Rubam were not Shomer Shabbos, but some of them were. So they signed the declaration of the Medina on Erev Shabbos. It's really Heyer Vavir. And it was May 5th, I think it corresponded. And Heyer was May 5th, if I'm not mistaken. No, it wasn't. 14th. So the that year, if I'm not mistaken, in Eretz Yisrael, somebody published a manuscript by one of the Talmidim of the Zonli Goyen that went under the title Kol HaTor. So he speaks about the bulk of the Sefer is about in Yoni Mashiach Ben Yosef. It only appears once in the Gemara in the Sukkah, but it appears apparently many times in the Zohar. So the Vilna Goyen works a lot about this Indian, and the Talmud quotes him as saying that even if this is the only thing that he worked out in the area of Torah, is to be Mevar the Yonim Hashem and Yosef, so he felt that his life would have been worth it. He did many other things in learning as well, but he said even if he would have only accomplished this, the ruling that he brought about in this area, Dayot, it would have been enough that he came into the world for that. So he has a lot to say there about the Inyanim of coming on Mashiach. So he writes there about 3 days during the period of Sphere that when important things are going to happen in Eretz Yisrael about coming on Mashiach. So he writes, instead of writing out the dates, he writes the Kabbalah, the Chinas of the Sphere. So he writes on the date, and this book was printed before HaKamos HaMedin. So he writes there about Yisod Shevet Tiferes and Malchus Shevet Tiferes. That corresponds to Heyer and Vavir. That something important is going to happen. Then he writes whatever, he forgot what the Kabbalah combination is for Yom Yerushalayim, for Chav Chesiyim. So after the book was published, no one knew what he was talking about. What does it correspond to until after they established the Medina? It was supposed to be on Vav Iyar, because the British mandate was over at midnight in the middle of Shabbos, but they did it in Hay Iyar. So Rabbi Chalap's grandfather was dancing, he said, now he knows that shot. Rabbi Chalap did not know this story. Professor Horowitz showed him that he published, Professor Horowitz used to live in Eretz Yisrael, he published this story. He remembered when Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap was so excited, now he knows Chat and that half of the Kol HaTor. The other half he didn't know what's supposed to happen on Chav Chesed, that he didn't know. That happened Yom Yerushalayim, that happened quite a few years after Rabbi Yaakov Moshe Chalap passed away. But this was all written up in the Sefer Kol HaTorah. Many years later, Rabbi Mendel Kasher, the one who did all the work on the Torah Shleima project, reprinted this fat book, Kol HaTorah. The people said it's a forgery. The whole thing is a forgery that he put in the dates after. But there are people still alive today, Professor Horowitz and others, they remember, they saw this little book before Kamasam did it. That ain't no forgery. It could be someone forged it. It wasn't Mendel Kasher. It could be someone else forged it. And but they forged it before the Medina. They forged it before Hayyir and Babiya. It was in print before Yom Yerushalayim came into being. The whole thing was in print before. It's in Hilchas Yomim Noiroim, it says in Shulchan Aruch that it's not the time of the year that you want to be mekatreg on anybody. Teres and Meitshuva, you made Elul. So it says that if someone did an Avera or something, it's not a good time. The Bezer should not put the guy in Teres during Teres and Meitshuva. Wait till after Yom Kippur is up, wait till after Sukkot is up, then you put the guy in Teres. But then they have a list of other days when you shouldn't start up with other people. And if you have a din Torah and you want someone to swear, a shvuah deraisa, you shouldn't have him swear because the avera will be great if he's swearing la sheker. But don't do it on Aseret and Meitshuva. They have a whole list of other days of the year, and most of those days of the year we don't know what they're supposed to correspond to. So they have among the list of the days Hayyir, and no one knows what that's supposed to correspond to. They wrote this in the Sefer Orchas Chaim in the Sepinka. He quotes this from 100, 200 years before, that nobody knows what is Hayyir. They have a whole list of other days. Nobody knows what those days are supposed to carry. It's supposed to be a very serious day. Hayyir is supposed to be a very serious day. That you don't mess around with people on Hayyir. And the Bezin shouldn't be Matul Cherim. You shouldn't be Mekatreg on anybody in Klal Yisrael on that day, because it's a serious day. Now, why did they pick that day to celebrate? That was the people. People argue that was the day that they established the Medina. That's when the war began. Mechemet Hashachur began. Wouldn't it make more sense to celebrate when they were successful in completing the war? That they were Yotzei B'Shalom from the whole thing. Why celebrate when the war began? So the answer is yes. We are celebrating the beginning of the war. The Gemara tells us in Megillah that Melchamas is Atzalta Degula. That the Ramban HaKomish seems to say that the Gula, the term Gula means the building of the Beit HaMikdash, and we celebrate not only on the occasion of the building of the Beit HaMikdash, and not only in commemoration of the building of the Beit HaMikdash, we celebrate in anticipation of the building of the Beit HaMikdash. When something significant occurs and you know that this is going to lead to the building of the Beit HaMikdash, it's called Askalta the Gula, and that also caused the celebration not only on that occasion but even every consequent year in commemoration of that special occasion. And the Gemara says Melchamas is also an Askalta Degula. What Melchamas? Rashi writes on the Gemara. Melchamas means the wars over who's going to control Eretz Yisrael. Because you don't build a Beit HaMikdash unless you have an order. The Gemara says you have to have Lamed Lamel, if you have to have a Jewish government in Eretz Yisrael, then you have to have Lachu Zav Shalom Molech, and then you have to have the third step is Witness Lam Beis Apsir. So we are celebrating Tavkan Hayyir on the beginning of the war. Of independence. Every war, we're not thrilled about wars, we're not happy about wars, but these wars that have to do with Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara had a tradition that all of these are leading towards the building of the Beit HaMikdash. That's an Aschalta Degula, and that is a cause for celebration. Basemis writes in his collection of Drashas HaKomish that David HaMelech composed Mizmor Shel Chamishas HaBayis with David. He composed a special Tehillah to be recited in honor of the Hanukkah Sabbath. He didn't live so long. He was interested in building the Beit HaMikdash, and the Navi told him he's not allowed to because he was a warrior. And his son is going to be an Ishal, and his son, Shlomo HaMelech, is going to build the Beit HaMikdash. What is he composing? This Mishnah Hanukkah Sabbath with David. So the Basem says, yeah, but he was dedicating all the gold and the silver and all the precious metal to Sukkot Sayyid Al-Yam. He was setting everything aside for the Beit HaMikdash that he and the Navi told him he's not allowed to build it, but he was still preparing everything in advance. He was celebrating in anticipation of the building of the Beit HaMikdash. There is a concept of celebrating the Aschalta Degula, and the Gemara says the Muhammad saw the Aschalta Degula. get a tenth reason to celebrate in Parshas Vayelech. We read the way history is going to unfold itself. Moshe Rabbeinu tells the Nevuah, it's going to be a long galus, and the Jews are going to come back to Eretz Yisrael, and there's going to be a big Tshuva movement. And that's what the Rambam quotes in Hilchos Tshuva. Everybody has the Chira Chavshis, but for Hifticha Torah, the Torah promised us, Yisrof Nishol Yisrael Asas Tshuva. That promise is in the end of Chumash Bon and Parshas Vayelech. And the way it appears from the Chumash is almost from the Nevi'im itself. And the Nevi'im also says, HaKadosh Baruch is going to make Shivat Zion, and then after Shivat Zion, then he's going to be Metairos. Then there's going to be the Tshuva movement afterwards. It doesn't say first we're going to do Tshuva, and then he's going to bring Mashiach. So he's going to come to Eretz Yisrael to Neim, and then HaKadosh Baruch is going to be Metairos. And the Nevi'im, it says it a few times. That's also a cause for celebration. There's a tremendous Tshuva movement going on in Eretz Yisrael that has impacted on many, many, many people. And it's picking up as the years go by, it's picking up for more and more people. They're not all becoming Shomer Shabbos so quickly, but it's affecting many people. My wife picked up something on email the other day that some non-religious writer in a newspaper writes. He's a middle-aged person, so he writes he feels cheated that he never had any background in study of Talmud. Then he's not religious. He has a little, in later in life, he said he started reading a little bit Mishnah and Medrash, but Talmud he has no background in, and he feels cheated. He feels that this is our heritage, not religious men, that this is our heritage. And he encourages the youth to revolt against their parents, that they fly off to Paris to celebrate Pesach, it's in English in the email, to celebrate Passover in Paris, just to have a whole year round, to have a good time. He says they should insist that they should stay in Eretz Yisrael and celebrate Passover and find out what the tradition is. Not a religious man, he doesn't plan to keep any mitzvah. But he says, but the Jewish people have a culture. He says this would be a tragedy to see the whole Medina Yisrael collapse because of the fact that they have rejected their culture. He says we have to restore the culture, we have to go back. So more and more people are going there. I remember many years ago when I visited Eretz Yisrael once in Chodesh Elul, I met Shofet Tal. He used to be a Supreme Court justice. I think he just retired recently, if I'm not mistaken. So he told me that he gives a shiur every week for lawyers and judges, and he wanted me to give the shiur. So I asked him, what are they learning? He said, they're learning Zel Neshek. So I said, I can't just walk in and give a shiur. And he said, Neshek, I give an introductory shiur. So he said, okay. So I come there. So there are two or three women. Okay. Then maybe two people, obviously, Yeshiva Bachem, with sitzes out, with beards, and yarmulkes, right? Then the others all look modern people. Two or three had yarmulkes on. The others didn't have them sitting there. And then by the time the shiur begins, everybody has a yarmulke on except for the guy sitting right in front of him. He doesn't wear any yarmulke. But he was the only one who took notes on every sneeze that I said, and he kept on asking questions. I should explain this again, and I should explain that again. And I had a very good feeling. This guy obviously is not religious, but you can't say he's not because la'achas. If he comes to a Gemara Shiur every week, he didn't come in Miami, he doesn't know who I am from all over the world. He comes to a Gemara Shiur every week, he's not religious, and he wants to know, what is the Jewish tradition? What is our heritage? What did our forefathers have to say? And that's what's happening in Eretz Yisrael. We have to see to it that that we should further the tshuva movement. This whole concept of Parhisticha HaTorah, what the Rambam Chesof and Shal Yisrael La'atas Tshuva, means that the Bnei Yisrael are attracted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like a magnet. That the pasuk in Tehillim that the Baal HaTanya quotes, "Ka'ayol ta'arog al atikei moyim," like a gazelle will be drawn towards the stream of water, "Kim tarag nafshi elecha Hashem." So too, man is drawn, or the Jewish people, I'm not so sure about man in general, but the Jewish person is drawn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu instinctively. And that fact that the Jews are drawn to Eretz Yisrael like a magnet is also the same meaning, because Eretz Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Mashar Shechinah. In Eretz Yisrael, the rabbis of the Talmud point out that Kol Ador Eretz Yisrael Kilu Yeshlo Alaka, Kilu means he doesn't believe in God. He's not a servant. Kol Ador Eretz Yisrael Kilu Yeshlo Alaka. Kol Ador Bechutz Lo, even if he is religious, Kilu Engo Alaka. Why? Because there's more Hashgacha Pratis in Eretz Yisrael than there is in the rest of the world. The Gemara in Tainus in the first paragraph, the Pasuk in Dvarim, said Eretz Yisrael is any Hashem Elokech Abom Meireishis Hashan about Hashan. There's more Hashgacha Pratis in Eretz Yisrael than there is in Chutz Lorz. But because there's more Hashras Hashchina, that's why we assume that the Eretz Yisrael draws the Jewish people to it like a magnet, in the same way that the Shechina, in the same way HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is like a magnet that he draws the Jewish people to them. Self Mishal Yisrael Achas Tshuva also implies that Self Mishal Yisrael, we will all end up in Eretz Yisrael. So these are all the cause for celebration. 10 good reasons to celebrate and more. There are many reasons to celebrate. Why are there those who insist that we should not celebrate? That we should, there's what to cry about, so we understand what they're crying about also. Most of the people who established the Medina did so with the intention of being Perek Ol Torah Mitzvah. The whole purpose of establishing the Medina was that this nationalistic feeling should replace the Jewish religion. As it says in the Hatikvah, Liyasam Chavshi Giyaten, Liyasam Chavshi means, that's not what they meant when they wrote that. But Chavshi today has a connotation of a Perek Ol Mitzvah. The person is not observant. That's why Baron Soloveitchik always says that if you sing Hatikvah, you have to be Magia, that word, you have to say Liyasam Kodesh Giyaten, instead of saying Liyasam Chavshi Giyaten. He once spoke at the Torah Masorah conference, and he developed this theme, and some of the Rosh Yeshiva walked out. They weren't interested with the Agor, without the Agor, they weren't interested in the whole Mitzvah. But so we understand why many people, there aren't so many, why there's a small group of people who feel that the Bedavki do not want to celebrate. They feel that Hakamas Amdina is an occasion to cry, because most of the Miyazdim of the Medina did so for the sake of overturning the religion. But the truth of the matter is that on the occasion of Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Medrash tells us the Hamushim Ola B'nei Yisrael Mi'eretz Mitzrayim. So Rashi quotes one shot, one out of five Jews left Mitzrayim. That 80% died, only 20% left Mitzrayim. The other version in the Medrash is Hamushim is one out of 50. In other words, 98% of the Jews died in the Machpelah Space, and only 2% came out. Like in Machpelah Truma, 2%. So Kodesh Yisrael Hashem Reishis Tvasa, the Jewish people who came out of Mitzrayim were only 2%. 98% died. The other version of the Medrash is Hamushim 1 out of 500. The 499 out of every 500 died during the 3 days of Machpelah Space, and only 1 out of 500 came out. So there's what to cry about over the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim. That 98% of the Jews, 80% and 98% are 499 out of 500 died, and only such a small percentage came out. So we should cry on the occasion of this. The answer is we celebrate, we rejoice over the good part. There was a tragedy that occurred, but we're not celebrating over that. We're celebrating the happy thing. Look, we have many causes to celebrate over the issue of the Hakamas Hamadina. This is what to cry about. But we're not celebrating over the fact that they established, that the non-religious, anti-religious Jews established a Medina that they plan to use in order to undo the whole religion. And we know historically that those people have been bitterly disappointed. They're aggravated to death. They established the Medina in order to get rid of this non-religion, and it keeps on getting stronger and stronger, bigger and bitter. So they're very upset. This is not the Medina. That's not what they intended. So when we are celebrating the Hakamas HaMedina, we're not celebrating the Havamina that didn't succeed. We're celebrating the Maskara that did succeed. All the 10 things that did succeed. It needs a lot of shukas on the part of B'nai Yisrael to see that all of these inyanim should develop further. Right, so it's not a state of Mohammed. So Mohammed, everybody has to help out. You don't only have to help out by dropping bombs and shooting rifles, and you have to help out the country economically and in all ways possible to learn in Eretz Yisrael, to send children to learn Eretz Yisrael. People should move to Eretz Yisrael to live there. Everyone has to help out to the extent that they are able to. And if a person is a kofi taiva to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so the Gemara considers that a serious other, we have a lot for to be thankful to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Younger people who didn't experience the whole Holocaust don't appreciate the major shinuim that occurred at the occasion of the Hakamas HaMedina. with one in Tov Rav, with a lot of yeshivas. They don't realize that years ago there weren't so many yeshivas. There wasn't such a system. Everybody goes to Eretz Yisrael for a year, you come back. There was no Eretz Yisrael, there were no yeshivas. For quite a few years. And it was only after the Hakamas HaMedina that all of these things were restored. Okay, let me just mention again, on Sunday I'll be out of town. I won't be able to give a shiur. On Monday morning at 11 o'clock, the chief rabbi is supposed to give a shiur in the Beis HaMikdash.